I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello. We missed you guys. Guys, welcome back. 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. We missed you. You know that we, as a company in Unity, were in support of Black Lives Matter, and we thought that that was the forefront of everything we needed to talk about for the last little while. So I hope you guys are well and safe, and we are back to talk about the tell-all part one and two, and hope you guys watched it. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by the lovely Ashley.
Hey, guys. Hey, 90 Day family. Missed you guys.
You know, I have to say that we have the best fans.
We do.
We took a bit of a break, but that didn't stop a lot of you from reaching out and just being like, hey, what's going on? And I support you. And how can I be an ally in this Black Lives Matter movement? And I just want to say that thank you, guys. I thank you for all that reached out. I thank everyone for what they're doing and using their voices however they're using it. It's amazing. It's really beautiful to see.
Agreed. Yeah, you guys. So for the past few weeks, like Linda said, our network and our show, our 90 Day Show, has been silent in effort to stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. On May 26th, our nation was rocked. I know all of us were rocked with the video release of George Floyd's murder by a Minneapolis police officer. And his murder took place on May the 25th. And a couple weeks prior to that, we also saw the video release of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. He was killed on February 23rd while jogging, and Breonna Taylor, who was also murdered by police while sleeping in her bed. And what these murders, along with countless others, have in common are that they're racially motivated. They're acts of hatred by certain community members and or careless acts by the police. And just to kind of give you guys an idea of the severity of the issue, some recent stats released showed that Black Americans are 2.5 times more likely than whites to be killed by police. And in 2019, 24% of all killings, 24% of all police killings were of Black Americans, when Black Americans just make up 13% of the U.S. population. So that's about an 11% discrepancy. So just want to kind of paint that picture for you guys. The Black Lives Matter movement it intentionally builds and nurtures a community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative and not depleting, which is why we have decided to take a moment to highlight the excessive and senseless and unjust killings of Black men and women throughout our nation and our global community. This is in hopes to educate, bring awareness, and ultimately lasting change to our world. There are some 90 Day cast members who have taken the stance as well, and I wanted to kind of just highlight them. Regardless of what we feel about who they are on the show and who they represented themselves to be, I think it's noble that they've taken the time to use their platform to speak out on such an important issue. The first person I found on social media that spoke out, I saw this on Big Ed's Instagram page. He had been attempting to raise money for the NAACP empowerment movement. He posted that on his Instagram about a week or so ago. So shout out to him for that. Ashley Smith also spoke out on her IG page about the killing of George Floyd. And she's also been working to, Linda, I don't know if you've heard about this. She's been working to get a member of or a cast member of the Vanderpump Rules cast fired for making racist comments about Jay. Apparently, he said something along the lines of Jay's nose being bigger than his face. And Annie actually stood in solidarity as well for Blackout Tuesday, as did Yolanda. So we have some 90 Day members who are really speaking out and using their platforms for good. So I personally appreciate that. Linda, do you have anything to say about noticed so far on social media?
I just wanted to mention that if you haven't seen it yet, we did an exclusive with Jeffrey, and Jeffrey gave us his opinion of the Black Lives Matter movement, where we go from here, and all of that. It's on our reality channel here on AfterBuzz TV, so definitely check out that as well.
Yeah, that was just today, and he was super candid about his thoughts and feelings on everything. So you guys make sure, like Linda said, check it out. And yeah, we appreciate you guys standing with us in solidarity, and hopefully we can fight for some lasting change for all of us. So yeah.
Absolutely.
That being said, we can get to the fun part of the show, which is the rundown of all the couples.
Yes.
Our tell-all part one and part two, Linda.
Man, so listen, I spent, like, you know, I spent 10 hours watching the uncut version, and I was wondering how we were going to see this all unveil and how they were going to cut it and all of that. And, you know, part one, part two, there's the part three that's airing today. There's a part four and five. So I'm interested to see what the outtakes are, but overall, I thought they did a good job on part one and two and how they edited it. You really did get to see a lot of the drama unfold.
I think they did too, just to see the translation from the 10-hour footage to the super dumbed down. I think we got the gist of everything that we needed to see. So I enjoyed it. It was messy.
And you know what? They definitely captured a lot of the messiness. They didn't get all of it, though. I have to say, like, we already know that baby girl Lisa is a hot mess. But I felt the tell-all calmed some of that down, because she went, what you saw in the tell-all that they released is just a fraction of how she was acting.
Mm-hmm.
And same even with Big Ed. Like, Big Ed, he really was an instigator in all of it. And so you saw a little bit of it, but I mean, man, that raw footage, let me tell you, I give it to Sean Robinson for holding her tone, keeping it calm, and just dealing with all the different personalities. But let's jump into it. They started off with Ed and Rose. And Rose was really, really angry. Like, she was angry to tears. And you know, I felt for her, because I know that she had a translator, and we know that she speaks a little bit of English, but not a lot. And she really wanted to express herself. And I think in that frustration, you could tell that there was so much more that she wanted to say. But the biggest thing she was saying is that, Ed, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. What did you feel?
I think they're both liars. I think they're the Lion King and Queen. I think they were both lying about certain things. I would say, this is what my spidey senses tell me. I don't have anything factual to back this up with, but this is just my intuition. I think Ed was lying when he was denying the allegations about the sex video call. I think that really happened. And his laugh about it, the way he laughed it off, was just so telling to me, like, okay, you're lying. And I think Rose Marie was lying when it was brought up that she wanted to get back with Ed, because she got way too defensive. She just, what she was saying didn't, and I understand there's a language barrier, but still, what she was saying didn't line up with what facts were being presented or what receipts were being presented. I think they both are guilty of lying. I think they're both guilty of using one another. And I honestly think I might catch some slack for this, so I'll take it. But I think that she's really using, you know, the somewhat of the embarrassment that she went through with Ed to her benefit, and she's using that to kind of build a brand. So with them bringing out the receipts that she actually wanted to get back with Ed around Valentine's Day, that kind of goes against her brand. So that's why she was fighting that so hard. But I think they both lie. I think they both are guilty of using one another. And that's just that. That's my take on it.
Okay, we'll go with that. I will say this. I think that Ed is a master manipulator. I think for the simple fact that he brought receipts, and some of those receipts, I personally think he got off of social media, especially the one with the two hands and the watches and how he called her out for being in a relationship with a female, all mm-hmm. that stuff. That stuff that we already knew about, we reported here on AfterBuzz TV, but I also think that the way he used it was a power move, and I just think that he's a master manipulator. She's in her 20s, he's in the 50s, he's been in the game for a long time, and you know, being single for 28 years plus, I think you're single for a reason, and I think part of that reason is because of who you are. And we even saw in the tell-all, when the women started giving feedback, all Darcy and Avery and even Lisa, they were all going at him and telling him how he talks to women is wrong. And he even admitted that how he presented it, quote unquote, was could have been better. That in itself, I thought, you know what, just own up to your mistakes and stop being such I had some choice words that I won't use because my mom was probably watching somewhere. But he was not the best, and I think that he should own up to the way he is and how he treats people and how he treats women specifically. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about how you felt about his daughter Tiffany. And how she cried when she heard her own father say that he would give up his relationship with her in order to pursue a relationship with Rosemary.
Yeah. No, I think Tiffany was well within her rights to feel the way that she felt. I would be emotional about that too. Especially now that we know and now that he knows that she was right, you know, the whole time. So I'm not sure why he would, you know, continue with that stance. But I think Tiffany handled her father well. And she knows what she's dealing with more than any of us. And I agreed with what most of what Tiffany was saying. And I think she got her dad together. She didn't take up for him on things that he was wrong about. But she also, I think, checked him with love. Just like a daughter should, an adult daughter should be able to.
Yeah, but I also think I also think it was a light bulb moment for her, because I think that you could tell that they've obviously gone through some things in their relationships with each other. But I think that she had a moment like, hey, you know what? My dad probably said all this stuff to me, and in the moment, he's changing his tune. And when he snapped on the waterworks, I was like, oh, see that? And I know I sound like a broken record, but that's manipulation there. You're like, oh, this and this, and Rose wanted to get with me, and I just wanted love, and I would do anything for love, and I give up my relationship, all this stuff. And then the daughter's like, wow, Dad, after everything we worked through, you would just give it up like that. And then he was like, I'm so sorry, I love you.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, stop it. And again, own up to what you are and who you are. Like, I'm sorry, but you know, Big Ed, you had me, we interviewed you, we thought you were amazing. And now I just think, even with the Black Lives Matter stuff, I usually don't like comment crazy, but he was like in his hot tub or whatever, and it was right in the midst of the George Floyd thing, and I was like, is he tone deaf? And I said to him, you have this beautiful platform, like what are you doing to use it for good besides like us seeing you in your hot tub talking about yourself? It's crazy.
Just really quick, more to Tiffany. Lydia in the live chat brought up a good point, or just something that I don't know if we want to chat about really quick. She said Tiffany coming at Rose was mean and uncalled for.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I think that Tiffany doesn't know enough. I think that if she only saw what she saw on TV, then, you know, that's her dad. And naturally, you're going to support your dad no matter what, right? Family is family and blood is blood. Mm-hmm. I got to say, who is this in the comments that just made me super laugh? Selwonk. Selwonk!
Hey, Selwonk.
Let me tell you, I have to say, first of all, shout out Selwonk. Thank you for your tweet. I thought it was hilarious. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But Selwonk says that he's watching
Happily Ever After
and this at the same time. Go ahead and multitask. Let's move on to Yolanda. So yes. Yolanda talked a lot about her weight loss journey. She talked about getting sick and realizing that she may have had COVID-19 back in December and that she was in a coma and she was out and out of it for over a month. And she talked about how, you know what? Okay, so this is what I want to say. You know what I realized about Yolanda? I think that, you know, I've had a love-hate relationship with her. And I was like, how can anyone be so friggin' ridiculous and stupid and naive and all that stuff? But as I watched her on the tell-all, I realized she really is that naive. Like, at least she portrayed herself to be that way. Because in her answers, she was, like, so giggly like a little girl. And she realized that she was being catfished. But at the same time, when asked, like, if he contacted you again, would you get with him? And she was like, yeah, probably because, you know, I love him. So, like, the concept of him not actually being someone real did not register. And I just thought, oh, I think I feel bad for you. I think that you were just, think about it. Let's say your mom been married for, like, 20-plus years to the same person. And for whatever reason, your mom is single again. Of course she's got no game because she's had to not have game and she hasn't, like, sharpened her skills because she hasn't had to. She's got her man. She's been in that lockdown 20 years. Boom. You throw that person out here in this world in 2020. Yeah, I see how you could get eaten up because you've got no game.
Yeah, I feel like her kids need to keep a close eye on her because she can easily be taken, as we've seen. And I don't think she fully has accepted the fact that she was catfished because, like you said, she's still open to this Williams idea. She's accepted the fact because she's been forced to accept the fact at this point, not because she really, truly, wholeheartedly believes it and is sold on the idea that she was catfished. She has no choice but to believe that at this point. So if an alternative outcome is available, she would be more than happy to take it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I thought it was actually funny that she called out David, and we'll get to David a little bit later, but
I thought that was funny too.
When she said David's delusional, I was like, okay.
Hot calling the kettle.
For real. For real. I was like, okay.
There was a lot of sunning going on in the tell-all. And what I mean by sunning is like the pot calling the kettle black. Like a lot of people who probably should not be speaking out on other people's situations. Yep. So matter of factly, like you might want to keep your mouth shut and just sit this one out.
Right. Let's move on to Stephanie and Erica. I felt like Stephanie and Erica had the most drama and also the most animosity towards each other. I think that after still watching this, okay, so we talked about Stephanie and I am one of the people, and I'll readily say this, that I still don't believe that she's bisexual. And I don't even think that she answered in the tell-all definitively. She just said that I don't need to justify, and I'm paraphrasing, but I don't need to justify who I am to anybody, which, right? It's not, to me, it's not a definitive answer. And I think that Erica's friend, Jessica, who called her out and was like, basically, it doesn't look like you like girls. I think that we're all feeling that way. And And you reminded me earlier today of something that I always say, but when there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that if you're portraying yourself one way and that's what you're putting out there and that's what people are catching, then that has a lot to say. That is something. And then I thought that I felt for Erica. I really did. I felt like Stephanie's friends. And again, shout out to Selwonk, who mentioned Sanders being an afterbuzzer, which I didn't know. I think Sanders is before my
Sanders time. Is an afterbuzzer?
Sanders is an afterbuzzer. That was something that was brought to my attention by Selwonk, one of our amazing fans out here that we love to talk to all
hey
the time.
Hey guys, it's Brianna Booth. Yeah, Sanders was an afterbuzzer for a short amount of time. He had to move back to New York, so that's what had him stop participating with AfterBuzz. But yeah, he used to do our Bad Girls Club after shows along with a few others.
There you go.
Whoa.
Which is my answer. I was like, I didn't know that. I think it was before my time. Let me refer you to Brie. So I think Sanders, and then is it Heather? Heather was a hot mess, eh? She's doing a lot. I think she was super faded, drunk off her ass. And I thought it was telling when she like chugged back her wine and she's like, I'm sorry, but I have a lot of stuff to get off my chest. It's 45 days with no work. I was like, oh, she's working through her own stuff.
Not your therapist.
Right.
You know? And they just need the tea from you.
They cut them off like that. They're like, oh, something's not right. And even Stephanie was like, you're scaring me. I was like, yeah, you're doing a lot right there. And you can't blame it on it being Italian. I think you're just doing the most and you might need a timeout. What did you think?
I thought she was doing that for attention. I thought that she was trying to get as much camera time as possible. So she was drumming up the drama. She was trying to use that 90-day formula. Like, let me try to drum up as much drama in this moment so I can get as much camera time. That's all that was.
I thought she just seemed crazy, though. She didn't even, like, if you're going to bring drama, like, bring it. You know what I mean? Besides just yelling. I don't know.
She was uncouth. She was uncouth, but I think that was the motivation behind it. I'm not her execution. That was her decision, but I think that was the motivation behind it.
Annabelle says Sanders was campaigning to be on Pillow Talk with Steph. I don't know about that.
You know what? That's a good point. Sanders mm-hmm. and Heather.
Mm-hmm. What was your take? Like, what was your takeaway between Stephanie and Erica? Like, I do feel like Erica really was in the moment, and I felt like she was absolutely hurt by it. And it was telling when she said that, you know, I was told that I could come on and finally tell my side. And Stephanie was able to turn it and flip it on her again, which is something that she is easily able to do, is like, hey, you know what? You did this to me, and you did this to me, and my illness and my feelings and my. I was like, oh yeah, this is really not a good look for either of them. But I did feel more empathy towards Erica.
Yeah, I thought that they were both a bit of a hot mess, but I think if I had to pick a team, it would be Team Erica.
Yeah.
They're just a lost cause. Like, they don't get along. There's no finding a middle ground, no finding any kind of agreement between the two of them. And I did feel for Erica when she was crying, because I felt like she genuinely wanted to tell her truth. Yeah. You know, she wanted to speak her piece and have a sense of closure. And what I got at the end of their segment was, she didn't get that, and she felt like that moment was stolen from her.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I think that she'll just have to kind of come to some kind of resolve about it and move on. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I got from her that she was really in it to be in it, and mm-hmm. I think that that's why she was still in her feelings, and I think that Stephanie was able to get over it apparently get over it, just from what I'm seeing, is because she wasn't really in it in the beginning. Do you know what I mean? So if you go in it for a specific reason and you know, you're not who you say you are. And you come and say that you're not who you say you are from being online and who she met, then yeah, you're easily going to be able to move on mm-hmm. and have time to think about what's your next good move. So I just thought it was a terrible situation for all of them. I really did.
Facts.
Let's move on to Tom and Darcy. This was actually one of my favorite parts. So Tom and Darcy are playing nice in the beginning, and then the wheels fall off, and I was here for it. So
let me just say this before you go on. I was proud of how Darcy handled it right at the beginning. I thought she was being very diplomatic and nice,
listen,
considering the situation.
I agree with you. I thought Darcy handled the whole tell-all very well. I thought her answers were on point. You could see her come a little bit unglued when Tom was saying how things could be different, and they made some notes. So they're both being very like cordial towards each other. Hope you're well. Hope your family's well. You're doing well during this pandemic, blah, blah, blah. We got the niceties out of the way. And then Tom was asked by Sean, you know, like, why did you go to New York? Like, did you go to New York to break up with Darcy? And he was like, well, I don't know what I wanted. And you know, I went there to see. And he was like, when he said, if Darcy had said, hey, I know you're cheating on me and I'm not okay with it and I want you to be with me, my literal note was, why is it Darcy's responsibility to call him out on his BS about Shannon and being with Shannon in order for her to keep him? Like, that's my note. Why was that Darcy's responsibility? You know you were cheating. You know you were in a relationship. Why should Darcy have to tell you about your cheating in order for you to stay with her? That's ridiculous nonsense. Didn't make any sense to me. And then guess what happens? I'm just going to go full circle. So he gets called out on that because I think it's ridiculous. And then gets called out by Avery, and you knew something was wrong. And guys, this is always a telltale sign. When someone automatically gets defensive and starts like the and you think, whoa, where is this coming up from? Like, it's out of nowhere. It doesn't make any sense. It's because they're about to get caught in a lie. Take this little note for me. They're about to get caught in a lie. So all of that extra stuff is a distraction in order for you to be like, oh, why are you acting like that? And for them to have a moment to think about what their lie is going to be. But guess what? He wasn't able to do that because he's there live on TV with everyone involved. So he leaves, gets his cigarette, comes back and smokes on air because he knows he's about to get called out. And he got called out by Avery. Like, this dude contacted me, asked me for a date. And oh, guess what? Not only did he ask Avery out, but he also asked out Stephanie. And I was like, see, and I was watching Darcy's face in it, and I was like, see, this is how you know you did the right thing, and this is why you're going to be okay, Darcy, because this is the type of guy that you are around, and this is the type of guy that you dated, and it's okay that, you know, it didn't work out because he was never in it to be in it for you in the first place.
Agreed. I think Tom is unapologetically a thought, and he takes pride in being a playboy or a thought, or, you know, just being loose, basically. And Darcy did make the right decision. And I, to answer your question, I know you presented it and it was rhetorical, but why is it, or is it Darcy's responsibility to call you out on your mess? It's definitely not her responsibility, but it's like, do we really expect anything more from Tom? Like, considering the source of, you know, who we're talking about, somebody who, like I just said, takes pride in being a playboy. What do we expect from him? Sadly, we can't expect anything better to come from him. He's still up to his same old antics, the hitting on Avery as soon as he found out she was single, him trying to get with Stephanie. He's just, Tom is just trash, basically. I mean, for lack of better words, he's just not the, let me say this, he's not the ideal guy to be in a relationship with. He's not relationship, long-term relationship material. Maybe he's fun, but, and that's a maybe. You know, I think, like you said, Darcy made the right decision.
Absolutely. She made the right decision. And I think that, you know, Tom has grown. I can't remember how old he is, but if he's his age, however old he is, I'm going to say mid to late 30s. Like, you're not 20 anymore, dude. Like, if you don't want to end up alone, you might want to think about what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're running through women as you are, because you know what? You're going to be 60 all of a sudden one day and be alone and wonder why. You just can't, you can't treat women like that, and you can't treat anyone like that really at the end of the day. And you'll find out if you don't really work on whatever it is that your stuff is that is allowing you to be the way you are. Let's talk about Ashley. I think that we should probably talk about Avery and Ash, because that kind of ties into all of it, right? So, Avery and Ash, that story was to me sad. I did think that they would make it, but they didn't make it, and we found out that they didn't make it because Avery was saying that Ash lies all the time, and I thought it was so interesting that the lie came directly back to him again. Everything always comes out. So even with the Tom thing, Ash is the one that lied to Avery about screenshots that Tom supposedly sent him about asking Avery out. And when Sean asked him, he had to come clean, right? Because you're A, on national TV, and B, the two people that you were lying on are right there in front of you. So he's like, no, I lied. And I lied because I was hurt. I lied because I wanted to get a reaction out of Avery. And I thought, wow, see, your true colors are coming out as well.
I thought that that was minor and not material to what the actual issue was.
What are you talking about right now?
For me, I think the bigger issue was, or the bigger bomb drop was, the fact that Avery was willing to go out with Tom 2 days after she broke up with Ash. To me, that was very telling of like how she, like, how, were you even invested in the situation with Ash? How are you so ready to jump out of your relationship with him and go hang out with Tom, of all people? So to me, that was concerning. Okay, Ash told some white lies. It was stupid. It was a stupid lie. But I don't think that that, I think the bigger issue for me is Avery. Avery seems to find issue with everything. So I've said this before on other after shows, I'm not really a big fan of the way Avery maneuvers and the way she's kind of treated Ash. I know I'm a minority in that opinion, but that's just the way that I see it.
And you know what? I respect you, Ashley, and I respect your opinion. I definitely don't agree with it, but I respect your opinion. I will have to say this. Okay, so
Lydia just told me, she said that was not a white lie, Ashley. Okay,
Lydia, thank you, because you thought I had to like take a breath, because I love my girl Ashley, but I do have to say this. I think that someone that consistently lies to you, whether it's small lies or big lies or a combination of the two things, it makes you crazy. And I personally have not, I can't say that I've experienced it. Have people lied to me? Yes. Have men lied to me in relationships? Absolutely. But not on a consistent basis. And I think that the problem with the Ash and Avery thing is If you constantly lie, big or small, then everything is going to be called out. And that's why everything is an issue. And that's why even for Avery, the fitness diet thing where he was like saying he was doing it, but he wasn't, and she called him out on it. It was a bigger deal because it's not about the diet. It's not about the screenshots. It's about the lie. How can I ever trust anything that you're saying because you're constantly lying? And that's not okay. Now, as far as you saying Avery being willing to go out with Tom 2 days after breaking up with Ash, I agree with you there. I think that we've all been in long-term relationships. I'll say this. There was once a person that was in a long-term relationship and they broke up. And her neighbor knocked on her door, maybe a day or two later, was like, hey, I heard that you broke up. I'm sorry to hear that. Do you want to maybe like go for some tacos on Taco Tuesday? And the girl was like, wait, what do you know? Like, she was not in that mindset. So I think that to your point, if you were totally in it, then being asked out would be very confusing to you because you're still like grieving your relationship a little bit and not in the mindset to entertain anything else. So I agree with you on that point, but a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. And
I agree. I'm not saying that Ash is right with his lie, but I think the bigger issue, because to me, I felt like Avery was constantly digging and looking and,
because he's lying all the time, though. You're going to be acting like, listen, it's like this, Ashley. If you're dating someone and that person cheats on you and you stay with them, all of a sudden you become a little bit more paranoid, do you not?
Yeah, but I think if we were dealing with a different person other than Avery, I would understand. But to me, she just seems like very, like she's like hypercritical, I'll say that, but she just seems to be very like suspicious of everything. So I don't know.
Let's go with Annabelle Reina. She says we agree to disagree. So yes,
we agree to disagree. Brittany Monk said, if a man is lying to me the whole relationship, he can't get mad at how quickly I move on. Should have been honest.
Ooh, I mean, girl.
But no, my thing is, that's fine. But at least level up. You gonna rebound with Tom?
You know, no one, Ashley, no one said she was rebounding with Tom. Stop it.
Time of day.
Let's move on to Lisa and Isman. Lisa on the tell-all, I'll just tell you. What you guys saw is a fraction of how nasty this girl woman is. So we know they're married. Her and Isman are married. They block each other. They unblock each other. They block each other. They fight. They this and that. And you see Lisa go off on Isman on the tell-all. You see her go off on Ed. You see her go off on Avery. She was in true form. And for the unedited version, guys, I just want to reiterate how well, because I know that Sean Robinson has taken a lot of criticism for her tell-all hosting, but she nailed this tell-all. And in the uncut version, Lisa goes off on Sean, cusses her out, calls her the B word, and basically tells the producers to cut Sean Robinson's mic off and get her off the air as if Lisa was the superstar of the show. So what you guys saw was just a fraction of how we all know Lisa, baby girl Lisa is. She's a train wreck and she cusses at everyone and she doesn't let anyone talk. And what I saw in the tell-all is that every time Isman tried to give an answer, she tried to talk over him. And the part where she was really talking over him and he was like, let me speak, was when, and I was surprised that they cut it out, he was addressing the fact that she called him the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And how he wants to know if that is something that all American women do, and do all American women talk and act the way she does? That was his point in the tell-all that you guys didn't get to see because, you know, it hit the cutting room floor. But that's why she was going crazy, because she didn't want everyone to hear what she actually said to Usman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wasn't really surprised that that was cut out. I don't think that TLC wanted that smoke right now. I think they understood the social climate we're in. They avoided that smoke like the plague.
Listen, I get that, but then is that a truth? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
I think they should have put it in. But I think that I'm sure that that was the decision that was made, you know, that was the reason for the decision that was made.
Let's talk about, because there's nothing really else to talk about Lisa and Usman. Do you have anything else to talk about for them?
No, other than somebody said this in the live chat that Lisa was acting like she was the expert on everything. And I think that was the case. She was acting like she was the relationship expert. Had all the answers for everybody.
I mean, she does act like she has all the answers. However, I did like her answers to Yolanda about the Yahoo boys and the G boys. Like, you could see that she either fell for a Yahoo boy or she's had a lot of experience. Because when she said, oh, like, I get contacted by at least 300 Yahoo boys a year, which obviously was an exaggeration, but I do think that she has had some experience with men trying to scam her, and I do think she gets a lot of her validation from social media, and that's why she acts out the way she does.
Yeah, I think you have a good point there.
Let's talk about David. I feel for David still. I when Caesar is the voice of reason, you know that you're in trouble. So I felt for him when he said Lana's only friends are the people she talks to on the site. She's been talking to them for 8 or 9 years. But in that same breath, he said how the men that go on the site pay by the minute to be on the site. When he said that he had been to the Ukraine 20 times, and he used to use catalogs back in 1994, I was like, oh, so you, like, going through a magazine, were picking out women like they were property and saying, I want her, I want her, I want her, and I want her to show up there. Like, they had no say. That's who you are, David? Okay. When he said he spent $250,000 to $300,000 over the years, and then the part that was just the last part for me where he said that the iPhone that he gave Lana, she couldn't use because of her nails. I was like, you know what? You deserve to get dragged by Ed here because you're not hearing how you are sounding right now in this moment. And when Caesar told him that, hey, yeah, it was interesting to me that Caesar and Maria talked and David and Maria talked and Caesar and Lana talked and Lana and David talk. I was like, yeah, because those women are professional daters. They've been on the site for, like you said, 8 to 9 years. And Lana is not getting off the site. How Maria did get off the site, even if it was briefly for Caesar, because she had like a direct money change hands to her. He was sending her money directly. So yeah, I felt for them. And I felt for David specifically because I don't think he's delusional. I think that he's just trying to save face. I think that he's all in with it because he doesn't want to come to his own reality like, hey, you know what? I am a fool for being in this for 7 years and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars by the minute to talk to this woman online who will not even talk to me offline. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, for me, I was done when he said that Lana is not talking to him using the iPhone that he bought her due to her nails. That was like, okay, any kind of sense of empathy or compassion went out the window. Like, he's just voluntarily being silly at this point. And like you said, I think a part of it is just him trying to make himself feel better for the amount of money that he has invested over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Someone in here, and Nakia says, you know, it's the end of the world when Caesar's out here giving advice.
Facts.
Facts. But what was crazy is that, okay, so first of all, Caesar said that he went to the Ukraine and met Maria, which I don't believe at all. And if you heard earlier, he said there are no pictures because he took pictures with her and then she looked at them and wanted to see like which ones looked good and ended up deleting all of them. Whatever, Caesar. But your point of knowing when she asked you for money and you said no, I was like, oh, you know what? Caesar's grown a little bit. He put his foot down. He's like, I'm sending no more money. And I was hoping that that would say something to David.
But no.
I don't think it did because he said, we're not together in the moment. Like, as of this moment, we're not together, he said. But they're still engaged.
Well, it was obvious based on his response that she was leaving him on a string. And he wasn't sure where they stood, but he was holding on to some kind of hope that she probably gave him, you know, some bit of hope, a glimmer of hope that they would possibly get back together soon. So we'll see.
We'll see. We have another whole part to go through. We have another two parts, actually. To talk about. So this is not going away anytime soon. Let's do some shout outs because the live chat is popping.
Yeah, you guys. Give us a thumbs up and make sure you subscribe to the channel if you have not subscribed. We got Brittany Monk. She's been heavy in the live chat tonight. Venti Stell, Radella Lewis, Annabelle Reyna. Let's see here. Nakia Emanuel. We have Geek Girl, Lydia, and let's see here. Oh, so many of you guys. You guys are really going. Cell Walk, of course. And are we missing anybody? Vicky Atkinson.
Mm-hmm. Amy Wee, Radella. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you said Lydia.
Yeah, I said Lydia. Cheryl's F28. So many of you guys in here. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And if y'all have not checked out our interview that Linda and I did earlier today with Jeffrey, make sure you check that out and comment, give us a thumbs up and let us know your thoughts on it.
Guys, yeah, it was really enlightening. Like you guys know how I've felt about Jeffrey over the season. So I hope that you take the moment to take a look at that interview and let us know your thoughts on Jeffrey speaking his truth. Also, I'm happy the live chat is back up. We love you guys so much. Please do stick around 9:00 Pacific Standard Time. We are definitely covering Happily Ever After. I am so excited to have some of our favorites come back. So we will be here tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time covering Happily Ever After with the entire gang. So all four of us will be here. So please feel free to join us. And on that note, guys, we love you. Thank you so much for being here. And you know where to find me. Linda is so girly all across social media. And the lovely Ashley.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Ms. Ashley Marie. And you can find me on Twitter at Ashley Marie 0422.
Love it. Oh, Nia, sorry you missed us, but we're back and we love you, and come to Happily Ever After if you want to be in that live chat over there. Guys, until next time, we'll see you.
Bye, you guys. See you soon.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.